Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to this week's edition of Inside Jag Nation. We're joining us today is Associate Athletic Director for Internal Affairs, Daniel McCarthy. Daniel, thanks for stopping by this morning.
Brian, thanks so much. I appreciate the invitation and the opportunity to participate.
Amongst other things that we're looking forward to talking to is Daniel's background, education, previous jobs, as well as his time at South and the different things he's done. Daniel joined the staff in the winter of 2008 and was primarily in compliance before moving into this new position about a year and a half ago. So first off, Daniel, starting up, when did you start competing in sports and what sports did you play? What were you interested in?
You know, sports have been part of my life as long as I can remember. I mean, when I was a kid, I played just about everything. You know, my year revolved around whatever sport was going on, whether it was baseball, basketball. I dabbled in a little football, but if you've ever seen me, I'm not really the prototypical football body, so I let that go in junior high. I actually played 1 year of varsity football, but it was not necessarily my finest moment. But I really started focusing as a high school student on basketball and golf. Basketball was always my sport. My dad played basketball in college. It's just been part of my blood since I was little. I started playing golf in high school because the golf team got to miss a lot of class when they would travel to tournaments. And so I thought, well, this is great because I never could really play baseball. Baseball left me at about 12 years old because I really just couldn't hit. But if the ball's sitting still on the tee, I could do that. And I could enjoy a couple of days out of school. So those were kind of my primary sports as I made it through my, you know, my teen years, were basketball and golf.
I know you said you enjoyed them a lot, but you did get into golf kind of late. Did anyone even approach you about the possibility of playing at the collegiate level, or had you kind of passed on that thought process during your high school years?
No, I did. I was, I think like eighth grade or so is the first time I picked up a golf club in my life. It sort of came natural to me. I think if I played on a regular basis, I could actually be okay. I say okay, not good. But no, I enjoyed playing a lot, and it was one of the, like, again, it just kind of came natural to me. But no, I was focused on basketball, and I actually did have the opportunity to go play basketball at Huntington College, which is where I did my undergrad, Division III. Had an injury, decided I was going to just kind of give that up my freshman year after the season. And so, you know, God, golf in college, that would have been nice. I think I would have enjoyed that. If I'd spent a little more time on the range, maybe. But yeah, I think I did get a late start on getting my game where it needed to be to compete at this level.
So you played, or you tried to play that first year at Huntington and it didn't work out. Is that when you started thinking about, well, maybe I can continue in sports working in a role in athletics, or was that a little later down the line in college?
I think, you know, it's actually interesting that, believe it or not, I think it was high school. I had the opportunity. I went to a small private high school, and they afforded the senior class an opportunity to do a week-long internship in the spring semester of your senior year. And they'd set up something out in the community, and you could go and work for a week. And it just so happens that a family friend is Jay Jacobs, who's the athletic director at Auburn. And so I grew up about a half hour from Auburn. And as I approached that week in high school where I was going to be able to do an internship, Jay gave me the opportunity. At the time, I think he was overseeing game operations or something along those lines in his journey to the athletic director chair. And so I had an opportunity to go down and just spend a week sitting in on some meetings and going to some events and just sort of shadowing him. So it's actually kind of weird. Like, I can date it back to high school. And then when I got to college, I started out as thinking maybe physical therapy was something I wanted to do. I took a couple of science classes and realized that wasn't what I wanted to do. And then business just kind of struck me. I said, I'm gonna get a business degree, and I'm gonna kind of follow what Jay did, and I'm gonna try to get into athletic administration on some level and just see where that takes me. So I'm not sure many people can tie it back to a high school experience, but for me, that's kind of where the light came on.
So you get the degree in business. What, did you have any jobs those last few years in college after you stopped playing, or you know, what kind of experience did you have as you got your degree?
You know, one thing that was, I think, unique about Huntingdon was it really didn't afford me the opportunity to work in athletics in college. I think a lot of our students here that are sport management students or that have an interest in this, they have a great opportunity because they're on the campus with a Division I school. And so they can start getting a resume early just volunteering. And so for me, I didn't really have that. It was a Division III program. I don't even know how many sports we sponsor, but there was just not a lot of opportunity to get involved and do things. So I kind of went back to the well again, and as I started looking at graduate school, realizing I needed to build a resume, I reached back out to my friends at Auburn, and I said, hey, can I come up my senior year of college now and just spend some time just building a resume, working where I can? And so I would drive to Auburn, oh, I don't know, three or four times a month on a Saturday just to work an event or just to be there for something. And it was really just so that I had something on a resume when I went to apply to grad school that would at least give me a little bit of an edge to show that I had a genuine interest in what I wanted to do. So I think my experience was actually pretty limited as an undergrad. It wasn't until I got to grad school that I really started digging in.
Well, grad school turned out to be at the University of Georgia. You ended up getting your master's in a year. What did you get your degree in, and how did you finish it that quickly?
Well, it was a 30 or 32-hour program. And the way it was structured is you started in the fall. You did two full semesters. There was a mini Maymester where you picked up some more hours. Then the summer, and then the next fall semester, I did an internship. So it was really about a year and a half to complete the hours. But University of Georgia just seemed to be a good fit for me. I looked at Georgia State and considered both. I'm from Georgia originally, so I wanted to stay in state. And, you know, it was kind of that moment where I'm like, okay, am I going to work in professional sports or college sports? Because if you're going to go the professional route, Georgia State makes the most sense. You're going to be in Atlanta. I mean, you're going to be surrounded by a million opportunities to get involved. But for me, it was always college sports, and so Georgia was just a great draw. I mean, I grew up. My father's an alum. My sister's an alum. It made sense for me to go there, and I just saw it as a great chance to get some real experience, be on a campus, and start to really focus on where my career could take me.
So when you were working as a GA in the athletic department, what role did you have? What jobs did you do?
I actually worked my graduate assistantship in recreational sports. That was never really the plan, but about 3 weeks before grad school started, I got a random phone call from the director of intramural sports at Georgia, and she said, you know what, I just had a GA lined up that's backed out on me, and I got your name off a list of people that are coming into the sport management program, and I'm just wondering if you're interested. We're going to interview a couple of folks. Would you have an interest in doing so? And I thought, yeah, why not? I mean, it's going to be tuition. It's going to be a little stipend check, and I couldn't think of a better way to get started, which, again, rec sports was never really an interest, but having my tuition paid for and having something to do was. So I actually spent a year working in recreational sports doing intramurals, which was a really actually kind of a good experience. I mean, we had, I'm trying to remember, I want to say 350 intramural flag football teams at a school that big, and that was my sport. So I was in charge of intramural football, so it was scheduling and make sure officials were there and posting results and filtering out names of teams that weren't appropriate for public consumption. I mean, I had all sorts of crazy duties, but at the same time, I worked kind of part time in the athletic department, just kind of as a game ops person. I mean, I worked more as an usher than anything. I would work in Stegman Coliseum during basketball season and just, you know, show people to their seats. And it was really just to make a connection with people in the athletic department so that I could begin to build, you know, a network of folks that might be able to help me when it was time to move on to the real world.
Well, your first internship ended up being in Auburn, and I guess certainly would require asking that if that connection with Mr. Jacobs helped you out to kind of get in there. But you know, beyond that, what did you do in your intern year at Auburn?
So you're seeing a theme here, right? It was always the easy way to go. No, and it was the right way to go because it was great experience every time I went to work there. I started looking at internships. My very first thought was I want to go work for a bowl game. I don't know why that was kind of something I was drawn to do, but I actually applied for an internship at the Sugar Bowl. I don't even know if I ever got a reply. Like, I don't remember getting anything back. It must not have been a very impactful application. But I did have the opportunity to go back to Auburn. I had no idea what they were going to have me do. I was kind of a catch-all intern, and so my very first day, they stuck me in the ticket office. So I spent maybe a week or two working in tickets and operations. Tickets and game operations were kind of housed together. And if I remember correctly, this associate AD at the time who was overseeing that area was off for maybe a week. And so rather than me just sit and do nothing, they said, well, why don't you go work with compliance? They need a little helping hand, so go sit in their office for a week or two. And so I maintained somewhat of a dual role. I helped on game day with ticket and operations, but I spent most of my normal week in the compliance office, not necessarily because I was drawn to compliance itself, but that I really liked the person I was working with. His name's Mark Richard. He was a senior associate AD at the time. He's now the athletic director at Montevallo. I just really liked his charisma, his personality, the way he dealt with coaches, the way he dealt with administrators. And to me, it was just a good experience on how to deal with people. I just, more than anything, would sit in his office and you know, you get different kind of interns. Some interns like to have something to do. They have to be busy all the time. For me, I wasn't necessarily busy all the time, but I was able to absorb just knowledge, just sit and watch and listen and observe how he interacted with people and how he conducted business and just go to meetings and listen. And so a lot of my internship was sitting and just paying attention and taking mental notes. And I think it really helped me develop, and I think it was a better experience than maybe necessarily sitting at a desk just busy working all day long. So I really, really enjoyed my experience.
Your first full-time job came at Mercer's compliance coordinator, and you did 2 years there and then moved on to the University of Richmond, where you did nearly four. You were the assistant AD for compliance there. I think for the listeners, talk about maybe the differences in that compliance director role of working at a school with and without football.
You know, at the time I started at Mercer in July of 2003. Mercer now has a football program. At the time did not. We had 14 sports. We had a budget that would make you wonder how we were ever Division I. But I was very, very, very fortunate to get the job that I did. I was applying for entry-level jobs all over the place when I finished my internship at Auburn. And Mercer had a job, and it was really their first full-time compliance coordinator's job. They had employed a part-time person to handle their compliance efforts for a long time. And I think everything I have today, I have Bobby Pope to thank. Bobby Pope was the AD at Mercer at the time. He had been there many years, and he really took a shot on a 24-year-old guy that had no experience and no idea what I was doing. And so I will always appreciate that. So my experience at Mercer was really good because it was an opportunity to, I think, to learn kind of on the go, kind of baptism by fire in a lot of ways at a lower octane, in a lower octane environment. Not having football, I don't think necessarily was concerning to me. I think I wanted to be at a football playing school at some point. But I liked the idea of maybe not having to deal with that right out of the gate. And at the time, you know, again, they had 14 programs, a lot of head coaches at Mercer that were kind of getting their start as well. I mean, it was kind of as I look back on the people I work with, there were a lot of people that have gone on and worked other places and made great careers for themselves. And it was just having the opportunity to get started there. Moving on to Richmond was a little bit of a leap of faith. I kind of see myself living in this part of the country. And while Richmond may be at one point the capital of the South, to me it was much further north than I ever saw myself living. But I saw it as an opportunity to go back to the football question. I think that's what drew me to going up there. Richmond had been known forever for their basketball. I mean, you're an alum, you know, you might have been there during some of the glory days. But the basketball program had always been really, really strong, competing in the A-10, you know, probably one of the best mid-major basketball leagues. But the football program was really on the rise. I had the great fortune to work with Dave Clawson was the head coach when I first got there, who's now at Wake Forest as the head man. And he built a program that, I mean, for the time that I was there, despite the history that Richmond may have had as a basketball school, we were a football school for that 3.5. I was there 4 seasons. We were semifinalists 1 year. We were the quarterfinalists. And then Dave took the job at Tennessee to be Fulmer's offensive coordinator, and we hired Mike London, who went on to be the head coach at Virginia. Mike won a national championship in 2008. So I think I left to come here like a month before that happened. Like I called him after they won. I was like, congratulations, do you need my ring size? You know, because I wanted a piece of that championship. But I do think that having the chance to work at a football school and one at the time that was doing really, really well, which it made me have – I had to be on my game. You know, I had to be on my toes because I wasn't going to do anything that was going to put our football program in any kind of peril. And I wanted to make sure we were insulated and protected. So Dave and I and Mike, when he got there, had a great relationship. And it was just a good chance to not only work with that program and learn, you know, the complexities of that from a compliance standpoint and an administrative standpoint, but also – you know, to be there at a time when they were really had it going, and you wanted to make sure that everything that could possibly go wrong wasn't going to go wrong, you know, just for the sake of the kids and the coaches.
Yeah, I was there about 10 to 15 years before you, and football was pretty much an afterthought. 3 of the 4 years, they won 1 or 2 games playing at the downtown stadium. Which I'm sure you're familiar with. It's different now. You know, that time, you know, you came obviously in the winter. We said that before, and you just mentioned it yourself. But what caught your attention about the position at South when it was advertised? Why'd you apply for it? Why'd you want to come down here?
Yeah, I think initially I had started looking for jobs that were going to move me a little closer to my folks and to my wife. My wife's from Mississippi, and I'm from Georgia. Mom and dad actually live in Tennessee now. But I was looking to get a little closer to home. We had 2 children in Richmond, and, you know, you just start thinking, I wish I could be nearer to my family. And so that was kind of my initial thought, is where are some opportunities going to fall for me back in the region of the country that we had both grown up in. You know, through a contact at another institution, I heard that South Alabama was starting football, and I heard that they may be looking for a position or two at some point. And so I had reached out and talked to Hal Williams, who at the time was the associate AD for compliance, and he and I had a really good conversation, I want to say in the spring of 08, about what may be coming down the road. And during the interim, I actually interviewed at a couple other places, again, really just looking to get closer to home. And in October or so, I think, of 08, Hal called me and said, look, we're about to post a position. It's going to hit the boards here. And, you know, we're going to take a look nationally, but I want to make sure you knew it's coming, and I'd like for you to be an applicant. And so my wife and I talked, and we thought, you know, Mobile seems like a really good place to raise a family. I haven't lived in Montgomery during my undergraduate time, made a lot of friends that were from Mobile and had spent a lot of time down this way. So I think initially it was just geography. And then the more I learned about the athletic programs and the more I was intrigued by the starting of football and the aggressive timeline that they had put themselves on, to me it seemed like a good fit. I remember when I took the job, I actually went, I asked Coach London if I could kind of say farewell to the football team. They were having a team meeting, and I went in, and I just, because I had gotten pretty close with the program, and I just thanked them. I said, I think the success we've had as a football program here at Richmond actually made me a little more of an attractive candidate, because I had been around a really good football program that had been very successful. Here's a department or an institution that's starting a football program. And so I think I was able to kind of parlay that experience working with a really successful competitive football program into, I think, the position here, because it was very much ground floor when I started, and I enjoyed it. It was some frustrating days, but just to be a part of of the startup was something that I think I wanted to be a part of, and thankfully was able to do so.
That first year, officially, you were an assistant position, got promoted to director 1 year after that, and then in the spring of 15, as part of reorganization by athletic director Dr. Joel Erdman, you came to your current position, associate AD for internal affairs. So I'm going to boldly ask you to try and give an overview of what you consider to be your main duties and responsibilities in this new role.
You know, I've been asked this before, and you think I would have come up with a really good answer, but it's hard. I have to thank Joel for giving me the opportunity to grow. Compliance was a huge part of what I've done, and it's always been very, very good to me. But I had reached a point where I was ready to start to expand a little bit. And while I still maintain a pretty good finger on the pulse and what our compliance folks are doing, I mean, it's an area that I oversee. My office is still housed here in the suite, so I'm not too far away. And that's a good thing. I mean, it's definitely something that I feel really comfortable with because I've done it for so long. But now I'm not really sure how to define internal affairs. I think right now I'm just kind of helping, the day-to-day operations of the athletic department. There's a lot that goes on that I don't think people even realize. I mean, it's what do we have? 160 some employees. We've got 17 sport programs. You just got a lot of moving parts, and those of you that live in the external world, you get judged a different way because if something goes wrong at a football game or, you know, we're not raising enough money or something, people see that. For the internal folks, it's somewhat of a hidden and maybe thankless type position, but it's important. And so I do a lot of like special project type stuff. I mean, I'm working on a couple of things right now that are very time consuming, and it's hard to put on someone who maybe has a primary role in one area, you know, whether it's ticket sales or development, or media relations or something along those lines. It's internal, I think, gives me the opportunity, quote unquote internal, gives me the opportunity to work on some time consuming projects that maybe others don't have the opportunity to do. So I work closely with folks on campus. I serve on several committees around the university. As a sports supervisor, I work with our baseball program and our men's and women's track and cross country programs. And so it keeps me busy. I may not be able to define it very well, but it is something that, for whatever reason, keeps me really busy.
Well, that leads me into my next question, actually, is, you know, for you, how would you describe a typical midweek, weekday, an 8-to-5 day where there are no athletic events that may change your schedule around?
You know what I've always enjoyed about what I do, regardless of whether it's been in an entry-level compliance role as an intern or even to today, is that no 2 days are the same. And I know that's kind of cliche, a lot of people say that, but it's really the truth. I mean, I'm not one of those that comes in. I try to come in and say, I'm going to get these three things or four things done today, and that's never what happens because something unique always comes up. But, right now what's been consuming a lot of my time is we're I think I can talk about this. Joel mentioned it on Twitter. So we're doing a pretty extensive renovation, facelift-type renovation to the Mitchell Center concourse area. And so that's been a big project that I've been working on I think that our fans and our student-athletes and our donors and our alumni will be really proud of when it's completed later this fall. So right now, a day in the life is working on that project.
What kind of role do you play in home events, whether people see it or don't, when you get into outside of the usual desk job and duties? But, you know, how do you impact that?
You know, I don't know that I have one specific role on game day anymore. In the compliance days, you know, compliance oversees a lot of functions on game day, primarily player guest tickets. So when football student athletes have mom and dad and brother, sister coming to games, that's a compliance function. It requires a certain oversight. And so I would typically have that on a game day. Now I try to observe more than anything. I think you and I both know that our athletic director is very observant on game days. He pays really, really close attention to making sure we do things the right way, and that's absolutely the way we should. And so I try to be a second set of eyes more than anything. It's just to pay attention to our operations, to observe where we might can get better, whether it's regardless of what it is. I mean, just in any area of our operations. So I think right now it's more walking around, kind of shaking hands, making sure people are having a good time, asking questions, and just seeing where we can get better, regardless of what area it is.
So you recently started work on your doctorate degree. What program are you in, and why did you make that decision?
I ask myself that every day. I say that joking. I started this summer. I'm working on a doctorate in educational leadership. South Alabama has a fairly new program. I'm in the third cohort they've admitted. That's a three-year Doctor of Education in Educational Leadership, and there's a track for higher education administration. So, I don't. It's not something I necessarily thought I was going to do. If you'd asked me 5 years ago, I probably would have said I don't think so. But something about the program, I just started reading more about it, and I thought, why not? I mean, it's a great opportunity. I'm extremely happy here in my position, and why not for the next 3 years? Work on something. It's a professional program, so it's designed for people that are in practice and that are working. So I'm not in class at 3 p.m. It's one Saturday, Saturday. I have to be in class from 9 to 4. It's a great way to spend my Saturday. But it's a lot of weekend and night work. And I know in the long run it's going to be worth it, and I'm happy to be doing it, but there's some days where, wow, it's a lot to manage because my dad keeps telling me that if it was easy, everybody would have one. But it consumes a lot of time, for me reading and writing in the evening after my children are put to bed, and then trying to juggle that family plus a very busy job. We'll see if you notice that I have less and less and less hair by December of 2018, in theory, is when I should finish. If I still have hair in December of 18, it'll be a miracle.
So beyond the projects you've got as your day-to-day duties and working on and completing that degree, what do you consider to be some goals of yours here moving forward?
I just want to make an impact on what we do. I want us to be better. I don't necessarily look at individual accomplishments. I mean, I'm going to work on a degree for me, of course, but in terms of my job, it's not about what I'm doing. It's about what we're doing. And so a goal for me is whatever our department goals are. We want to improve our standing in the Director's Cup. We want to win the Bubas Cup every year. We want to be the top academic program in the Sun Belt or in our region, or as high as we can be nationally. So I think for me, I just sort of absorb those goals and try to find where I fit into that. What can I do to impact that? So I think it may be a elusive answer, but I think my goals or whatever we determine as a department are the most important things for us. And I think that's what makes our department special. I think that's why I've enjoyed so much my almost 8 years here, is just because we really all kind of row in the same direction, and we all kind of have a very similar approach to the job, which is a combination of humility and just roll your sleeves up and get things done. I don't think there's a lot of ego in our department, and so I think for that reason, people are genuinely happy. People care about what we're doing, and I'm just happy to be a part of that somewhere in there.
I'd ask you what you do in your free time, but I'm quite frankly not sure you have any. But when those rare moments come up, what do you like to do outside of the office?
It's for me, it's family. I absolutely adore my family, and that's my life calling, is to be a father. And so anytime I get to spend with my kids, my son Drew is 11. He's heavily into soccer, so we do a lot of traveling around the region to watch him play club soccer. I have two girls, my middle child, Ella, who is 9, and my youngest, Hannah, who's 6. That's my free time. That's what I do. Anything I can, any time I can spend with them, which is become really hard. I mean, I with the added, you know, schoolwork, it's taking me away. Like this Saturday, I'm going to be in class 9 to 4. My son's got 2 games over in Mississippi that I'm going to miss, and I hate that. But for me, free time is family for sure. Outside of that, when I can golf, I enjoy it, but it's very, very, very rare. Once or twice a year, rare. You know, I think that's it. I think it's just really whatever I can do to be around my wife and kids.
We've been visiting with Daniel McCarthy today, Associate Athletic Director for Internal Affairs. And, Daniel, really appreciate the time. At this point, just want to ask you some quick hitter questions to wrap up the interview. Not so much about the job, but about some interests and likes outside of the department. And first, what would you consider your favorite moment at an event as an athletic administrator?
Wow, that is a tough question, because there's so many, and they sometimes they bleed together. In my time here at South, there's been a lot. I mean, if I think about, you know, just the first football game, I mean, that's one of those moments that you look back on, you say, I'm glad I was there, and I'm glad I was a part of that. I'm glad that all the work we had done to put in to get to that moment was pretty special. I think about, this is going to seem odd because we actually didn't end up winning the championship, but when we hosted the men's and women's tennis championship here, spring of 11 maybe, the men's match went down to like a tiebreak in the very last court. It was Alex Bernard, and I don't remember, we were head-to-head against Middle Tennessee. But that last few points, even though we ended up losing, was just like, that was probably one of the more exciting. Like, I mean, we had people all around the courts up on the balcony looking over. For some reason, that one sticks with me. Again, even though we didn't come away with the championship, it was pretty special. I think anytime we have a chance to host a championship here on our campus is fun. We had cross country here 2 falls ago, won the championship. The men's team did. That was pretty special to be a part of. That's just a few. I think as a fan, though, not as an administrator, as a fan, probably the most intense sporting environment I've ever been in was when, and you might appreciate this, you're a hockey guy, right?
Yeah.
Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals when Carolina was playing, God, were they playing Edmonton maybe? I don't remember who that matchup was. But the Game 6 was in Raleigh, and I had a buddy who had a media credential that he snuck me for that event. So I was in the house, and just the hockey fans were just the energy in that building was probably one of my favorite like sporting moments. And I wasn't an administrator. I was a fake media guy that probably had no business being in the building. But that's my favorite sporting moment. But in terms of here, there's a lot, and it's really just any time we've had a chance to compete, for a championship, I think that's pretty fun.
Well, not only a good answer, but you also answered the next question, so we'll just move on beyond that, because it was on my list for the best athletic event you attended as a fan. What's a sporting event you want to go to the most?
You know, I college football is always something that I'm drawn to. I'm doing a little thing with my son now that we started when he was 4, where we go to a different stadium every year, and we've done, I think, 6 now of football stadiums in the SEC, and we're going to go to Florida this year for the Florida-Missouri game, so I'm excited. It's a fun thing for us to do. For me, I think there's some things on the bucket list. I want to go to Augusta National. I'd love to see the Masters. I'd love to be there on a Sunday. It's probably better to go like a practice round when you can actually see something and walk the course rather than being like 45 people deep on the 18th hole on Sunday. But that's something I'd like to see. I'd like to see an Army-Navy football game. I want to go to a game at Lambeau. I want to go to a game at Lambeau when it's like -5. Like, I don't want to go in August or in September. I want to go when it's just brutally cold. I don't know why. It's just something I feel like I have to do. I'd like to go to a basketball game in Kansas. That's just a place that's always drawn me. That Kansas basketball environment is pretty electric, and I'd like to be there when they chant Rock Chalk Jayhawk. So those were a few.
What's favorite place you've ever taken a vacation to?
You know, this is going to sound easy, but I love taking – we've been to Disney twice with my family, down to Disney World, and just it's a stressful trip for parents because it's a lot, and you're doing a lot from the time you wake up, the time you go to bed, but the enjoyment that your children have through that process. I've really enjoyed our trips to Disney. We've been fortunate to make two. I'm not a huge traveler, so I don't really get out and go. My wife and I did go to Vegas for our 10-year anniversary. That was a fun trip with a couple that that we were really good friends with. So, yeah, those are probably my two favorites.
Well, if you don't travel much, the next question might not be worth very much. But is there anywhere vacation-wise that you haven't go that maybe that'd be one trip that you take if you could pin it down?
I've always said I'd like to kind of just make a trip across country, just kind of a drive. I think I'd like to see. I've seen, you know, the Utah and Colorado and kind of that those areas from the air. But I think I'd like to get in the car one day with my family, which is going to sound crazy. It's going to be like Clark Griswold driving across country. But I think I'd like to just make that drive and just see different parts of our country. I was very, very fortunate a couple years ago to go with our track program when we sent a couple of student athletes to Oregon for the national championship. And if you've never been to that part of the country, like Portland, Oregon, down to Eugene was just absolutely gorgeous. And I'd like to go back, but maybe in the car, as crazy as that sounds, and just weigh everything in between, you know, just take a look at that. I think at some point, I've been to Europe. I had a chance to go when I was in high school with one of those, you know, 10-day touring trips. I think I'd like to go back and maybe take my wife because she's never been. That'll probably be much, much later in life, but I'd like to make a trip back over there at some point, and I don't exactly know where, but just to have a chance to take her over there to see different things. But I think if I could choose, it would be a very stressful cross-country drive.
Fortunately, I don't think they make the Vista Cruiser anymore, but I am pretty sure that if we don't have one already, we would have to get a picture of you in the station wagon. That would be good for the archives. What's your favorite movie?
Ooh, it depends on the category. I'm a sucker for Wedding Crashers. Every time it's on, I stop and watch it. That would be my comedy. Forrest Gump, Good Will Hunting, Hoosiers. I grew up watching Hoosiers. I think I can pretty much say every line of that as a basketball guy. Top Gun sticks with me. Those are the ones that if they're on and I'm flipping around that I'm going to stop and watch no matter how many times I've seen them. Dumb and Dumber would probably fall into that Wedding Crashers category. They'll draw me in every time.
What's favorite book you've read?
Oh, Lord. Right now all I'm doing is reading journal articles for a dissertation study, so there's no time for spare reading. I think Stephen King's book about Kennedy's assassination is really good. I'm going to say the date and get it wrong. I think it's like 11/22/63. Don't quote me on that. I may have to check that. Don't check that source. But the date that Kennedy was assassinated, Stephen King wrote a really good kind of fictitious, obviously, novel on the backstory of that event. And that's something that I've always, from a historical standpoint, it's always been of interest to me. So it was a long, long read, but it was a really interesting read. So that'd be my book right now.
You got the date right. Yeah. If you want to reread it, you can take it on a loaner from me because I just got done with it again the other day. Favorite musical artist?
I don't know that I really have one in particular. I'm not necessarily drawn to a particular genre. I listen. My radio dial has just about everything. I've been on a Garth Brooks kick lately. Garth Brooks has a new XM channel, so I like a little Garth Brooks, but some 90s rap. I'll go back and throw Tupac in every now and then. But I try to stay current. I mean, I think having kids and keeping up with what they're listening to, that sounds so old saying that. But, I mean, we listen just about everything in the car because it's what they want to do. But sometimes when I'm just by myself, it's going to be something like late 90s, Garth Brooks from the 90s, Tupac, Snoop Dogg from the 90s, something like that.
And finally, this one usually catches people. They're not quite sure what to make of it. But when they make the Daniel McCarthy story in like 2035, who do you want to play Daniel McCarthy?
Wow, in 2035, anybody I'd pick would all be old. I'm going to go back to my Wedding Crashers. I'm going to say Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn. He's just I like his most characters he plays. I like him. He's got a little bit of a sarcastic wit to him, which I think that I have and maybe should control better at some point. But I'll go Vince Vaughn.
I have to be early Vince Vaughn. I think he's put on a few pounds in recent years. Ladies and gentlemen, that's been Daniel McCarthy. Daniel, really appreciate the time today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian. Really appreciate the opportunity, and go Jags.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags! Wow!